with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one mind. So how do you do that? He tells us so many good things there, but how do we accomplish it? Well, you got to read the next verse. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others better than yourself. And that's kind of what we did. We're imitating Christ's love for people. We're sharing, we're serving. Christ even said He did not come to be served, but to serve. And so once a year we step out and instead of coming into church to gather, we go out in the community and we serve. And I think it's a good thing, and we'll continue to do that. So thank you for serving. Thank you for making that happen. A lot of lives were impacted, and a lot of people were touched, and who knows, maybe somebody desires to know more about this God that we're going to talk about today. Who is your God? There's lots of choices out there. There's one big God that we're going to talk about, but in the world around us that tries to capture your heart, your money, your time, there's many other idols or things that we can worship, give our time to. They want to capture our attention. So the question is, first of all, what is the definition of God? One that is worshipped, idolized, or followed. I think we're going to focus on idolized because something that's ideal or great in your perspective can be a God. If you're giving too much time and money and attention to one thing in your life today, that is a God to you. It could be food or drink or a TV show or games or clothes, looks, your money, sports, recreation, hunting, fishing. What captures so much of your time that you're not able to control yourself? It captures your time, your money, your heart. God says in Mark 12, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Now in my thinking, that's pretty much all of you, right? Your whole being, your whole self. God desires that. He wants you to love Him. So what captures your love, your attention, your desires? Are you so captivated that you can't moderate in that perspective of life? There's not a verse that says, do all things in moderation. But I often think in my mind that it's there. But there's not a verse that says that. But 1 Corinthians 6:12 kind of gives us that perspective. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Do things in moderation so it doesn't capture you. It doesn't have power over you. What desires in your life can capture your attention or have power over you? What do you see as great? What do you idolize like a God? Reading Psalm 68, verse 8, the earth shook at the presence of God. Think about that. The earth shook at the presence of God. He's the one that's great. He's the one that we should idolize. He's a loving God. He's a caring God. He's a gracious God. But He's also a jealous God. He's jealous for our affection, for our love, as that verse talked about. In fact, the first three commandments talk about God. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. He's a jealous God. He wants to be the one and only God. But He knows that there's other things in life around us that can capture our attention, that can pull us away from Him. We might not even think about the true God for the whole day because there's so much going on. Number two, you shall not make idols. Idols. Okay, now, many of us think, well, I don't have an idol, a Buddha, or some other formed wood or metal or stone figure. I don't have any of that. But you might. Who has a cell phone? The kids nowadays are struggling more than I do. I struggle too. I'm not saying we're without struggle, but these technology things are going to capture their heart and mind. There's so much to do on those things. You could spend the whole day looking at your cell phone. Or is it TV? Or is it something else that captures you? So you can't moderate. You can't be wise with your time. The third one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not take the Lord your God's name in vain. The top three, the big three, they all talk about God. He's a jealous God. He wants our affection. He wants us to choose Him. Are you doing that? He's our Creator. Wow, think about that. One day, God says, I'm going to make the earth and animals and people. Can we really capture what that is saying? The Creator of all things. He's amazing. In Isaiah 40, verse 12, it says, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Okay, I've been on some big water, you couldn't see shore. God can measure all the water, the whole earth, in the hollow of his hand. That's a great God. And it continues, or the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens. The heavens are amazing. We can't even comprehend the heavens. But he can have them marked off with the breadth of his hand. Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Recently, I had a stump that I had used a machine to pull out of the ground and roll it onto the yard. And I foolishly thought, well, my boys and I, we can throw that up on the trailer sometime. We could barely roll the thing onto a skid steer to lift it onto the trailer. And it was only this big. Just think. It says, God weighs the mountains on scales. There's no comparison. At our meeting this past week, at the deacon pastor meeting, I was reading from Matthew 8. Jesus got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. God sent his son to earth as a man, and he had that kind of power. Even the winds and the waves obeyed him. What kind of power does God have? How great is this God? Are you choosing wisely? Who is your God? Who do you idolize? Who do you serve? Who do you love? Who gets your affections each day? You know, I've witnessed big waves from within a boat coming over the front, a little bit scared. Not a good place to be. I've been on a shore, on the ocean shore, watching huge waves that would have gone over this building as it knocked it down. And I've seen on TV the tsunami, effects of the tsunami in Japan in 2011. Amazing. But that's nothing compared to our God. He can measure that in the hollow of his hand. Those big waves, they wouldn't affect him. How great is your God? Are you giving him the greatness that he deserves? Are you seeing him as a great God, a loving God, a jealous God? There's a story in the Bible, in the Old Testament, about Elijah. He had met up with King Ahab, and he told King Ahab from God that there's going to be a famine for years. Wouldn't that be terrible news? Just think, I mean, we struggle at times. There's no rain for a week or two. And that's kind of hard on us. No rain for years. What if you were told that today? What would you do? Would you prepare for the years to come? Well, Ahab, King Ahab, he was a little frustrated with Elijah for telling him that, and then he suffered for years. Finally, they had a run-in again. Actually, God sent Elijah back to meet with King Ahab. And when King Ahab found Elijah, this is what he said. "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" Ahab, King Ahab had put all the blame on the prophet Elijah for the famine that had happened. Do you ever do that? Do you ever sin and try to pass the blame? King Ahab had sinned. He had not only broken the top three commandments, he had done terrible things. In fact, he made other gods. He made idols. In fact, in the temple, he put up an altar for other gods. King Ahab had strayed from the true God. "Is that you, you troubler of Israel?" He had the boldness to kind of try to push the blame onto Elijah. "I have not made trouble for Israel," Elijah replied, "but you and your father's family, you have abandoned God's commands and have followed the Baals." "It's your doing, Ahab," is what Elijah was saying. "I want you to look at your life. Have you been following God, the true God? Or have you turned and looked at idols or made idols in your life or worshipped or idolized idols at all? Are you struggling in your life? Have you made bad choices? Are you trying to push the blame onto somebody else? Or are you trying to blame God? Examine your own heart, your decisions, your actions. Are you following God's commands and expecting, or not following God's commands and expecting good to happen in your life? King Ahab did that. He sinned. He openly sinned, and he still expected God's blessing in his life. He wanted to push the blame onto the prophet Elijah. Elijah came to point out the foolishness of what King Ahab was saying. "It's your choices. It's the God that you've chosen, Baal." And to show how foolish he was, Elijah set up a sort of a tournament. And he said, "Gather all the prophets of Baal and Asherah." There was like 950 of these prophets against one prophet of God. Elijah was the only prophet of God to stand against all these others. And they went up to Mount Carmel and they had a competition. And the other prophets, they set up their altar and their sacrifice. And then from morning till midday, they called for their God to send fire, to burn up the sacrifice, and nothing happened. And Elijah, he taunted them, and kind of funny, he said, "Maybe he's sleeping, or maybe he's gone for the day. Maybe you need to wake him up, maybe he's busy, or just deep in thought." He had lots of different ideas for what was wrong with their God not answering their call. Well, then it was Elijah's turn, and he rebuilt the altar. Now that's an interesting thing, because if the altar was not built already, it couldn't have been being used. It shows you that King Ahab and the people had been lacking in their sacrifices. They hadn't been using the altar at all. Well, Elijah rebuilt it. He piled on the sacrifice, and then they had a trench dug in around the altar, and then they poured buckets and buckets, dozens of at least a dozen buckets of water onto the sacrifice, onto the altar. Now, any of you Boy Scout know that that's the technique for making fire? It doesn't work too well. Have you ever tried to start wet wood? Elijah wanted to show him that there was nothing there that was going to make this fire, to make it more impressive, to show how great his God is. And he called down fire, and immediately it ignited. It burned up the sacrifice, the rocks, the dirt. That was quite a fire. Our God is great. He desires to be an active part of your life, be involved in your life, to hear from you each day. Make sure that you're moderating other things in your life so you're giving God the time that He deserves. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Are you trusting God? Are you making good choices? On the cover, I put a picture of Adam and Eve, and they had to make a choice. And we get choices every day. Are you making good choices? Are you being wise with your money? It says, "In God we trust," on your money. Are you trusting God? Are you giving Him the time that He deserves, the attention, the love? Are you serving Him? Who is your God? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You for these stories that we can see the greatness that You have in the verses that talk about how amazing You are and how You can measure things in the palm of Your hand that we think are so incredible. But we forget to think how incredible You are. Dear Lord, I thank You for creating us. I thank You for giving us a choice to choose You as our God. Help us to make that choice. Help us to be wise. And help us to share that with others. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You can all stand and join us in closing worship.